Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to another Those Conspiracy Guys True Crime episode. This time we're going to be talking about the Wolf of Wisteria, the man who gave the world the legend of the Boogeyman, the Grey Man, or the Brooklyn Vampire, also known as Albert Fish. This guy is one sick puppy. And joining us in studio is another sick puppy, former MMA cage fighter, current castle dweller, stand-up comedian, star of stage and screen, and generally all-round sound chap.
I'm a sick puppy, but
Tom the Bear O'Malley. He's a sick puppy. That's the clip for the show now. I'm a sick puppy on a loop. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is your first time on Those Conspiracy Guys?
It is, and you guys have travelled with me hither and thither.
Tither and yon.
The shitholes where I know I won't get reception, I would have to download prior.
Yeah.
Because I have an unlimited internet on my phone anyway, so I don't typically have to download everything. But if I know I'm going to the wilds of maybe your home county,
sure,
I may end up, I know
there's not a lot of internet. There's people on the side of the road begging with empty buckets, begging for a bucket,
begging
of
for
internet.
Wi-Fi. Yeah. Begging for Wi-Fi, yeah.
Any Wi-Fi for the boar.
This episode is all about Albert Fish. Now, Tom, I've sent you on some stuff. You looked up some stuff yourself. This is dicey. We were on the radio already with Rachel talking on Spin 103.8. And for those of you tuning in from Spin, this is the show of the guy who killed, fucked, and ate 100 kids. And sometimes not in that order.
By reading down through the notes you gave me, and I was like, fuck off. So, like, some of this has to be. It has to be muck. It has to be, because
you think it's murder, like, or bravado.
It's like you know, if you got a list of things that make you feel sick right now, and you've got, like, on rates of, and he ticked every fucking everything. Box. He was, yeah, like, oh well, I'm going to eat my own shit. I'm going to fuck a child, and then I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to stick needles in my ass. It's just, it was everything. It was like, yeah, he looked for a what of a sick bastard, and he went, yeah, I'm going to do it all.
The whole menu.
More like any of the mad fuckers from, especially America, back in America, like, I know there's still wilderness in America parts, like, yeah, where you can get away with shit, like, but back in the day, like the 20s and 30s and stuff like that, they all looked mad as fuck. You know what I mean? They had an ear grown out at the top of their head nearly, or so, you know.
There wasn't a uniformity of beauty, no.
But this guy looked like he might mend your shoes. He looked like, yeah, hello, I mend your shoes. Yeah. He looks like a nice,
like a normal dude. Yeah. Little did you know that he used to lob a load of paraffin smoked cotton balls up his arsehole and then set them on fire.
Jesus, he was extreme, there's no doubt. Like,
yeah, I mean, nowadays he'd be a circus act. He'd be best mates with Johnny Knoxville, like.
Or he'd be, you know, have a highly successful rock band.
Yeah, I know. But it just one of these stories, like, jumped out at me, and this is Albert Fish, like, totally fucking fucked up, dude. Like, really rough stuff. So for those of you that are joining us for the first time, this is Those Conspiracy Guys True Crime. This is a true crime episode. It's a little bit shorter than what you're used to, and we're going to be throwing these out in the off weeks between the bigger shows. If you have any questions or any comments or any corrections, you can get us at info@thoseconspiracyguys.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, all the social places that you might find us. Send us stuff on Snapchat. I'm sorry if you're not getting back to you. There is thousands and thousands and thousands of emails and social comments and stuff coming in. I tried to get to as many as possible.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, I know, it's really tough. I'm here on my Toblerone, so it's quite hard to it's quite hard to make it happen. If you want to read any of the stuff or watch any videos, I have a load of video documentaries coming up from vid.me on our website, which is thoseconspiracyguys.com. And if you want to join in on the crack with the other co-conspirators, you can jump into Discord, which is our chat and audio chat server. It's text and voice, and we do some of the live streams through there as well. You get the links for those on our Twitter or on our webpage for Discord. And this show was only possible because of the lovely, lovely motherfuckers over at Patreon.com, which is a crowdfunding website where you get to drop a dollar and help creators create. So Patreon.com/ThoseConspiracyGuys is our page, and on it you'll be able to get like behind the scenes videos. You'll be able to get like appearances where we've filmed ourselves or recorded ourselves out and about in the real world. There's an extra RSS feed with outtakes and stuff from the show, and little appearances on radio and other kind of live events that we've been at that we got recorded that aren't available for general consumption. You gotta pay on Patreon to get those things. We do also have a t-shirt shop at Tee Public where you can get loads of these conspiracy designed t-shirts, jumpers, hoodies, even baby grows. That's right, you can have my face on your baby.
Good lord,
it's pretty weird in an Albert Fish show, but
I've already said it.
Yeah. Tee Public also offers a 30% discount for all of our Patreon people, so when you get onto Patreon you get a good discount on all that stuff as well. We have been recording some Why Press Play shows with Tom today, so Why Press Play is our other sister podcast. It's all about movies, TV shows, and computer games. And if you head over to whitepressplay.com or head to Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, we have all of the Whitepress Play over there. We do also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/ThoseConspiracyGuys, which is kind of getting switched off incrementally, bit by bit, thanks to the Orwellian wrong think machine. Yes, it's happening, man. The shit is getting, it's getting, the light is getting dimmer over at youtube.com. So we have moved a lot of the stuff over to vid.me, which is a new video hosting service. So there's all of those documentaries and stuff that I was quoting in all the old shows. You can all find them over at vid.me, and there's new stuff put up there, I think, every second day or so. And at the moment, as you're listening to this right now, we are preparing for two live shows. One on September 14th in the Generator, which is sold out. Unlucky if you didn't get tickets for that. We do, however, have tickets left for our big Conspiracy Guys extravaganza in the Sugar Club on the 10th of October. And that's happening in Dublin City. So if you're an Irish listener and you want to head to see those Conspiracy Guys plus friends live on the 10th of August.
Can I come?
Oh, there's tickets in the box for you already, boss.
Beautiful.
No hassle in the castle. You can head over to our website and you head over to our Facebook page or our Twitter page, and there's links there to the tickets on Eventbrite. 10th of October, starting at 7 p.m. And there's loads of stuff. We have guests from Scotland. Paul and Jerry from None Other Fake Newscast are coming over. And Johnny from Disaster Artists is also going to be making an appearance. We are going on a camping trip that weekend before the show. A survival camping trip to see if we can survive. I know, Tom's laughing here because he's like, fucking surviving you be doing, huh? Very weird kind of weekend plan. There's lots of like weapons and lots of like bagged foods that the nice people over at Patreon et al have been getting for us. So there is an Amazon wish list for mad shit to bring on this survival trip in the description below if you wanted to fill that out, or send us like some waterproof matches or one of those like arse protectors.
I have camouflage face paint up in the car for you if you wanted to, because you're just going to need it.
I love it. How do you get the colors to stay separate in the paint though?
Oh, I'll show you. Okay, cool. You use the three fingers through.
Is it like tartan paint?
Essentially, yeah.
I love it. The wish list is below, and there's been some crazy motherfuckers sending serious stuff. I've got like a tent and like sleeping bag. Oh, yeah. We've got like about 15 different types of weapons. We've knives and catapults, and some lad sent us a bag of ball bearings.
If Van Puss start watching what's coming to your house.
The postman hates my face because he's breaking his back carrying bags of ball bearings up to my house. We have a bunch of cuddly toys that we're going to pretend are real animals so we can shoot them and scavenge for food. And then we're also going to do a survival campsite come dine with me using the bagged dehydrated survival foods to see if any of them won't give us any sort of diarrhea.
Will you drink your own piss?
I will drink my own piss through a life straw or another similar. Apparently, you can do it. You piss in the thing, wait till it goes cold. Life straw goes in, all the toxins get taken out. So we're going to do a test, but no one has bought us a life straw yet. So if you do,
please, please, somebody absolutely. Find a life straw. Like, I'll go and get one right now. I swear to God,
dude, this is a show with Albert Fish. It's only piss.
It's only piss when you hear what Albert has done.
So yeah, head over to that wish list, and if you want to go see us live, we will be talking about all of that stuff and have loads of video evidence of us not getting buggered up the arse like Burt Reynolds in Deliverance. Go and check it out.
You got a pretty mouth.
Thanks, Tom. I didn't think
you'd
notice.
You do have a pretty mouth, though.
I didn't think you'd notice. So there's mailbag videos on the way as well. So this is like a little kind of intro to that kind of stuff. If you're sending us emails, I will be sending you back an email saying, I've got your mail. It touched my heart and other places, and I'm going to reply to you in video form. So there's loads of stuff happening. Check out VidMe and YouTube.com. With all that out of the way, Tom, Albert Fish, what a fucking sick motherfucker.
Jesus Christ and Christ above. Like,
this guy...
I genuinely thought at first, I said, Gordon, he's after picking some horse shit here. This is, because
it's ropey.
He went to every height. He went, fuck it, in for a penny, in for a pound, didn't he? I'm going to do it all.
Like, everything, like anything that you could do. Now, most of the time when we're looking at these, how would you say, like, disturbed people, you know? We've looked at Jim Jones, Charlie Manson, we've had some I've looked up some, like, David Parker Ray, the Thai box killer, which is coming up on the show quite soon. We've done it on the radio already. Some of these guys are sick motherfuckers, but like Joseph Fritzl, you know.
But they got one bag, though, typically, you know what I mean? They've got one kind of game that they're into, you know what I mean?
It's a peccadillo, yeah.
This guy was the smorgasbord of fucking lanky shit, like, wasn't he?
He was. He was the four-page fold-out menu of fucked up murder shit.
Unbelievable guy.
He, like all of those people that I mentioned, they do have an awful childhood.
Horrific.
And I think this kind of stuff informs how or what kind of person you're going to be when you grow up. Not saying, like, if you get fucked up the bum, you are destined to be, you know, a
eating
sick
children,
puppy or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. But it depends on what you get fucked up the bum with, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was born at Hamilton Fish.
Which Albert, I think is actually a pretty badass name. That's an indie band.
Hamilton Fish.
Isn't it?
That's some Brooklyn shit right there. Like, what's your name? Hamilton Fish, man.
Yeah.
Like with a PH.
Exactly. It's like, you know, Boardwalk Elbow. You know what I mean? It's good.
Yeah, I love it. But he didn't like this name because the nickname around the time, everyone used to call him Ham and Eggs.
After, like, Dr. Seuss?
This is in the 1860s, so I don't think it was Dr. Seuss.
Probably not.
But, like, Ham and Eggs, and he's just like, I'm not Ham and Eggs. I'm gonna eat your children.
Hey, listen,
like,
we've all gotten shit nicknames when we were small. I mean...
Mine was Professor Jelly Belly.
Was it?
It was, because I had glasses, and obviously I was obese as
a child.
Obviously,
I was a professor as a child. You were like Doogie Howser of Wexford.
I took it, because Professor was at the start. I was like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, I'd be earning 70 grand a year by the time.
As a rapper, Dr. Green, Professor Green.
It doesn't happen. Anyway, Professor Jelly Belly out. His father was 43 years older than his mother.
Player.
He was able for it. He was 75.
That's some boyo.
When Albert was born.
He's still fucking pumping out the good stuff.
Something happened anyway.
Jesus.
So at 75, he was still virile. Still swimmers were still working somehow.
What a boyo.
No prostate cancer for that man, obviously.
No way.
So he didn't really have a hand in Albert's upbringing as such.
No, because he was ready to die.
He's not
Jesus Christ.
Running around. And Albert was also the youngest of four kids. Now, the entire family had a history of mental illness, which doesn't bode well for young Albert, being like the mother was cray cray, and then all the kids were also cray cray, and then the dad was brown bread.
Yeah.
Right? The brother was confined to a state mental hospital.
Fuck.
And his sister was diagnosed with a quote unquote mental affliction.
The poor lady. She was afflicted.
I've been afflicted myself a few times.
I'm after afflicting the hell off myself.
But this family, the Fish family, all kind of had
mental
illness at some stage. Three other relatives were diagnosed with mental illnesses, and the mother had schizophrenic type auditory and visual hallucinations, but it wasn't diagnosed as schizophrenia at the time, because obviously, like, psychology and psychopathy diagnoses were in their kind of infancy at this point.
They were only just half a generation away from being burnt as witches anyway.
This is not a good time to be crazy.
No.
So she was definitely unfit to be able to take care of these kids, right? Mm. And, you know, she has four of them. Anyone that's out there with of sound mind and body that has four kids, you know what you're fucking...
Yeah.
You know, we've relatives here that have four kids. And it's like, hey, what's the crack? What are you getting for Christmas? Sleep.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have sleep for my birthday and Christmas. It's only twice a year. Like, it's bullshit crack, right? So she had to get rid of two of the kids. And she sent two of them out to the orphanage. The youngest girl and Albert, the youngest boy, was sent to an orphanage after his father died in 1875.
Right.
And he was there for only a few years, but the abuse that he suffered there...
In the orphanage.
...coloured the rest of his life, like, detrimentally, absolutely.
Do we know what happened to him actually in... Or did he ever...
There was beatings. I was reading in... the different depositions of people that knew at the time, and he wrote extensive diaries later on in life about what happened to him when he was young. But there was lads getting bet with rods, they were getting bet on the arse with like studded leather, the shit that you see in S&M
catalogues
now. Studded leather paddles, they were getting poked with knitting needles, they were being made stand out in the cold on one foot. Like, it was like fucking Guantanamo Bay shit.
Yeah, but I'm still not fucking seeing any recipe for eating people.
Yeah, as well, obviously getting fucked up the bum by older boys as well, right? So you're getting that PTSD, you're getting that helplessness, I can't do anything about it. And, you know, PTSD is coming from this, you know, feeling that I can't get out of this situation. So he's in an orphanage that's supposed to be minding him because his ma's crazy. And he just got put in with a whole lot of other crazy people that had dicks that they wanted to put into him.
Yeah, you can see.
That's so unfair to a child. And he's only nine. Like, he's like, oh, daddy died, mommy's crazy, and these boys are fucking me up the arse and slapping me with fucking Sally rods all the time.
Yeah, it's no crack. Jesus, there's zero crack inside that.
Yeah, very. I mean, like, he was there until he was nine, and he said, quote, he got started wrong. We were unmercifully whipped. I saw boys doing many things that they should not have done. Now, that's a quote from his diary. There's also other kind of paraphrases I read online.
He must, like, because he must have been one tortured poor fucker. Well, this is the mentally thing. Like,
when you're nine, Tom, you remember getting little, like, AAA battery boners?
Mm.
And you're like, oh, this is weird and pointy. And you're like, you didn't know really what it was for, really. But you'd give it a rub and be like, oh, that feels weird, like in the bath or something.
Yeah.
Like, this guy, he was getting whipped. And then watching other people getting whipped. And he wrote in his diary, like, I used to get erections from watching it. And then because he was exposed to this sexual activity, as young kids that are exposed to sexual activity are kind of wont to do, they start to sexualize themselves, or they start to play with their own poo, or they start to, you know, masturbate.
There's
at a very, very young...
An eye on this
nobody's
either,
keeping
like.
An eye on this. This is fucking an orphanage in the 1870s, dude.
Yeah.
And they start to masturbate a lot earlier because they see that that's a thing that you do, and then you're shown the technique by somebody else, obviously against your will, and you start doing it yourself, and it becomes like a comfort thing. Even now, like, there's grown ass men addicted to wanking because it's a chemical release, a neurochemical release. That's a you know, a relaxer, like eating shitty food or whatever. And this kid is doing that to go, like, I'm just going to wank myself asleep because it's the only thing that'll put me off the awful dreams. But while he's doing that, he's watching his peers getting fucking whipped bloody in bits, like,
fucking hell.
It's a weird connotation to have masturbatory activity at like 10.
Yeah.
While your mates are getting raped and screaming and getting whipped in the other room. Or in the room with you. Like, that's fucked up, dude.
You don't have... But see, and you've nothing else on the cards either. It's not like you get to... There's no happiness. So, I mean, the only outlet for happiness is, oh, Jesus Christ, there's some sort of a respite here. At least I can just go close my eyes and just...
Disappear,
like, because there's no happiness anywhere. Yeah. Like, he's not getting presents. You know what I mean? Nobody's holding his hand. Nobody's being sound. Yeah. Nobody's, you know, it sounds like just a horror show. And the only way out
was comfort.
So whether he was actually taking pleasure from seeing the lads getting the fucking hidings. But then...
That's the thing. He writes that he was getting erections while he watched it. And I'm thinking, is that not just because... Like, you were getting aroused anyway.
Yeah.
And then you started associating it with this. It does sound very similar, and I know we mention it in every fucking show. MK Ultra, one of our earliest shows, I don't know if you heard it. Like, a lot of this stuff is implanted in young men, and it kind of cracks the psyche between, like, sexual mind control, like sexual abuse mind control, where they would rape somebody into severing their psyche in half, and then they start implanting ideas in the disassociated identity or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this is absolutely happening to him at this point.
It has to be. And then plus he's just associating with that moment. Just like, all right, this is this horror show happening over there in the corner. I've just gotten under. Yeah, this is exactly what I'm going to associate with seeing horrible shit. And then,
and as well as we find out later on, you talk about sticking needles in your arse and in your up your fucking
perineum,
up your dick, and in
up your taint. It sounds like it was up his taint,
in your pelvis, in your scrotum, like in the blood rods in the either side of your penis. Like he was putting the needles in there. It sounds bad, yeah, even to talk about.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Yeah.
So, that obviously, that self-harm is obviously like indicative of abuse in early age. And it was never checked. Like
No. There was nobody.
It was never released. There was no one asked him, are you okay? Like, he going into his teenage years with some fucked up, like, Magdalen laundry shit happening.
Yeah, to keep that under wraps at all, like, where you don't start fucking just biting people as they walk past you. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you do get that stuff with, you know, the feral children, and when that stuff has happened and they've been kind of neglected beyond belief.
Yeah.
That they do end up going all Mowgli and...
But you can totally understand that. But it's the fact that he was able to keep together enough to wander the streets and looking like a tidy man.
And he was smart enough to be able to not get caught for years and years and years. So it's intelligence plus abuse equals Albert Fishman.
Plus intelligence, but then there surely had to be a mental weakness there from the family genetics, like, because
you have to think so. Yeah,
not every young fella that came out of that orphanage was going out fucking killing and murdering and raping people, like, yeah, you know what I mean.
I get you. It's a fucking bad combo.
It was just a weird Rubik's cube of all the fucking combos. It was the stars aligned to make a monster, like, you know what I mean, because they didn't all come out monsters.
His
family, the rest of his family, all had mental issues, but they didn't turn into fucking monsters.
It was just like a dash of rape, a sprinkling of, you know, genius.
Yeah, I have newt. Yeah.
Fucked up, dude. It's fucked. Albert Fish, like, before anyone did anything, Albert had pretty much done everything.
He was the Johnny Cash of fucking.
He was the Ted Bundy and the Ed Gein and the John Wayne Gacy. Like, he was doing it all, fucking raping and eating them.
They were all only fucking trotting after him when it came to that level of stuff.
So in 1879, his mother had finally, like 4 years later, finally got sorted. So he was there until he was nine. So he was there from 5 years old till nine, getting whipped, raped and beaten.
Yeah, those are the years where there's no turning back the clock in those years. Like,
absolutely. She got a job and she was able to take care of him and his sisters and brothers again. And in 1882, after all of this stuff, he'd been out on the outside and he'd be kind of back living a semi-normal life with a mother with psychiatric problems. Yeah. At the age of 12, he ended up starting his first homosexual relationship. So obviously, he had some homosexual predilections that were kind of awakened at some point, whether he was gay anyway.
Yeah.
Or whether it was kind of like an inquisitive notion from being exposed to male sexuality inside the orphanage. You know, as a young man, you don't really know what you're doing. You're going to look at some stuff, and he was obviously feeling it. So at 12 years old, he got engaged in a sexual relationship with a 16-year-old paper boy. But this paper boy had, and just unlucky.
What a fuck, yeah.
Just unlucky to fucking fall upon this guy who was into some fucked up shit. Like micturial imbibement, which means drinking your piss, and chorophagia, which means eating your shit.
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, of all the fuckers to run into. But this is the other side.
You say run into.
Yeah, I mean, you attract this kind of carry on too.
I think that lad at 16 was going...
Weak.
He's weak. He'll be into it. He looks like he'd do it.
And it's the other thing too, because I was thinking when I was reading that little bit that, oh, he engaged in his first homosexual activity. And I was thinking, was he gay? Here's where it gets really...
Yeah.
Let's see if it gets really deep here. Was he gay? Or given the time in society when it was, because being homosexual was just highly... You would may as well be the devil. Was he doing it because he knew it was... Society had told him it was bad. Because he went on then... He was bisexual, it would seem, by that.
Well, there is some choice stories later on about some other relationships he was in that ended up being like a homosexual nature. I think that's a really insightful kind of comment that... He was all about the self-flagellation.
Yeah.
He was all about the self-harm.
Yeah.
And there was nothing more self-harmful in society's eyes than being gay in the 1870s.
Because you'd be burned.
So he's like, I'm going to go do that because it's... you know, we just did a show on Aleister Crowley.
Right.
And similarly, he was into the extremes of everything. Like, he was the most amazing mountaineer. but he was also like a fucking sex fiend on the other side.
Right.
Who'd get into these like you know, sex sessions where it's part of the magic ritual where you have to like fuck yourself to exhaustion and expel semen 10 times in one night, like, and just be in this what's it called?
Sounds like my junior third year.
Yeah. Being like a somnambulistic kind of like a between sleep and awake kind of a state. You're like, and then the magic comes, you know.
Okay, right.
Apparently. Yeah. Allegedly.
No, I just shot dust for a finish, and that was anyway.
It's like curdled milk. But it just ended up that Crowley was like to the extreme because of that. It was his choice. And it is insightful that, like you said, that Albert Fish could be just doing that just because.
Yeah.
It was like, what's the rottenest thing to do? Because I hate myself.
And because society was saying the rottenest thing to be doing, or anybody can be, is be gay.
Yeah.
And he went, all right. Yeah. No, maybe that wasn't the case. Maybe he was just like, I want a shot at all the titles.
Yeah.
You know?
I want the two belts. But by 1890, so we're talking like 20 years of age, Albert had moved to New York and he'd just become a male prostitute. He was like, fuck it, I'm going all out.
Okay, right, yeah.
Now, we all know that, I mean, if you're a prostitute, you may not be doing it just for your love of intercourse. There may be a need for money or a kind of, you know, some other underlying reasons for it. But with Albert Fish, we're talking about like this lad wanted to be punished. And when we talk later on, like we're saying it as if we're just learning it as we go, but we've already read all the stuff.
Yeah,
so that's why we're making assumptions. He also began raping young boys at this point in 1890 in New York, even after he was arranged married by his mother to marry
that's what I found
this woman who was
strange.
9 years younger than him.
Because he's not, that's the surname Fish, he wouldn't be from... You know,
he's not higher.
But even a lot of Jewish weddings and stuff like that would have been arranged back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But there was no real mention of.
But he didn't come from money. He was working class.
So a lot.
But I think the arranged part is just like, come on, Albert, we just make it just so you're not so odd.
Bringing shame on the family. Little do you know, mummy.
Or just to go like, come here, listen, he's off like riding. Sure,
as we always said, a good woman. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We get you a girlfriend now and you'll stop eating shite.
Sure, look, it worked for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who hasn't had a Ferrero Rocher sized piece of poo at one point or another?
I really hope that somebody listened to this. Just nibbling. Oh, fuck that. We've just put him off.
It's nutty. But yeah, in 1898, at the age of 28, he got married to a woman who was 9 years younger than him.
Was she from New York or did the mother send her up? Because were they from Washington?
Mother sent her up.
Right. Going up there and...
And Mary Albert. And
he wasn't a bad looking fella, like.
Yeah, as a young man, he wasn't bad, no. But, I mean, as the years went on and the stresses and stuff like that. Like, can you imagine going into that relationship? They had 6 kids together, man.
So they were doing a fair bit of riding.
I think he was just in it for all bells, like you said.
He
wanted the whole lot.
Yeah.
In 1903.
He was into some freaky shit, I'd say. Even she had some run in there, like.
Yeah. And she was young, man. 17, like, coming into that shit, like.
Jesus.
Being married off and in by the time 1903 rolled around, so they had 6 kids in 5 years. He was just standing behind the doctor waiting for them to get out of the way, like, just dying to get into it. One after the bang,
another,
bang, bang, like,
another
done.
Shot at that.
1903, at the age of 33, he was arrested for embezzlement and he was sent to prison in Sing Sing.
Why
so
not?
So he's in with these fucking rough motherfuckers and his diaries tell not a whole lot about being in Sing Sing.
Really? It dropped off.
Understandably. Because I'd say the shit that went on in there was rough.
What year was this now?
1903 to 1910. So he spent 7 years in jail.
Very little crack.
I'd say too much crack.
Yeah.
To be fair. So after his release from prison, he moved away from New York.
Mm.
And he had the wife and the kids were all staying in the place. It was just outside of New York. So he went to work in Wilmington, Delaware.
Right,
up around the lakes. And he met this 19-year-old guy. So he's preying on younger people, right? He knows the crack. He knows what to look for because he's looking for himself at a younger age.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's this 19-year-old guy called Tom Kedden.
Right.
Right. Now, in 1910, you're talking about...
the dawn of cars and shit like coming out around the place.
He's like 40 years of age.
So he's probably got a few bob as well, is he?
He's just got out of prison and he's looking for work.
So he's ended up in
work, but I mean, still a working man.
Yeah.
At 40, and he ends up working on this. It's like an estate, right? And Tom Kedden is like the handyman around the place, and he was a bit soft.
Oh, Jesus.
Bits off in the head, right? And they began this, like, sadomasochistic, like, gay relationship where...
Garden rakes battering the fuck out of each
other. Yeah, Tom was the submissive and Albert was the dom. And Albert wrote about all of this in the diary, and it seems kind of like poor old Tom
getting... He got an awful time of it.
Yeah, he just met the wrong lad at the wrong time, you know. And Tom was all into it and he convinced him.
I wonder what Tom went on to do.
He went on to fucking piss like a broken hose. Because Albert Fish convinced him one day to cut his mickey off.
Cut his cock. But he definitely would kind of been right in the head, like, to go along with that.
I mean,
I did hear of a Welsh fella that tore his own scrotum off.
Yeah.
For a bet.
Or the lad that did it on the internet. It was like the Faces of Death or something like that, where it was like a competition to see what the roughest thing you could do to yourself was. And a lad, he had a wank and cut his dick and scrotum off and then cut it up into small pieces and cooked it in a frying pan and ate it. His own dick, all in one go, like.
By Jesus.
Yeah, because of Tom's, like, his intellectual disability, you might think it's probably not fair to have a sadomasochistic relationship. Like, Albert Fish was baiting the shit out of this young lad and making him bait the shit out of him. Like, it was...
How do you have that conversation first day? You know, hey, what are you up to the weekend? Were you fishing? No, I wouldn't be big into the fishing, like, but, fucking no, me neither. Do you know what I did? I punched myself in the cock. You wouldn't be into that, would you? Would you be into how does that first conversation? Because once you're away and you're off to the races,
yeah,
anything's.
You just have to bring it up.
Once you get a guy to fucking paddle the shit out of you, you're off to the races, aren't you?
You're just like backing into it, like, oh, come here, listen. I was there the other day, and you know when you slam your cock in a drawer. Do you know when you get caught short after a shower and you're looking and you just slam. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, no.
It's fucked
What's
up,
it
man.
Like? What's it like? It's all right?
it's a bit crooked. Like, how the fuck... Yeah, how do you convince... Well, anyway, he convinced poor Tom to get into this weird thing where there were... He had a fascination. He wrote in his diary, "I have a fascination. I just want to cut someone's dick off."
Right.
And he convinced Tom to cut... He just took a scissors and pulled his mickey out as long as it'll go and just cut it in half.
And was the plan to kill him afterwards, like?
That's the thing. Plan to kill him, eat him, fuck him. Like, what... You know, what was the crack... Maybe it was just power over
right,
him.
Yeah.
And he said, in the diary, he said, he looked up and he looked in his eyes and he thought, I've ruined this lad's life. I really made a mistake.
It's a bit of retribution. Like, he had a backwards moment there.
Yeah, and he said he gave him $10 and a kiss goodbye and put the top of his dick in his hand and went, I'm sorry. And he ran from Wilmington, Delaware, and never came back. And that poor lad was left with a fucking half a mickey. Like, that's fucking fucked up, right?
Jesus, like, I mean, $10 worth of, you know, was big back then, but at the same time, like, he gave him a kiss and said sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But it was his first dick cutting, so...
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, you can see he was a bit apprehensive. Yeah. But, I mean, he had been... You know, raping people up until that point. Like, I mean, it wasn't exactly his first rodeo, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just like,
I mean, you have to build up to cutting somebody's cock off. Like,
but he'd never done it before.
Yeah. Had he apologised and given $10 to everybody, he fucking fucked up.
I'm broke. $10 a cock. Yeah, it is fucked up. But, like, that's just such a weird story of reflection on his actions. Like, he did know he was doing wrong things.
But then, halfway up the road, was he kind of going, fuck it, I wish I hit him. If that fuck goes well, because I don't know if you,
like, he was later on that evening when he was like, "Jeez, I'm starving." Yeah, oh, fuck, I should have had that with the rest. Yeah,
that fucker. Because there's a guy. It was a couple of years ago. I saw a quick. It was only a snippet of Weird People, and it was a snippet of a documentary. You could easily find it. But this guy, he basically had. He put it out to anybody who.
The German guy.
Yeah, wanted to eat.
He wants to kill. Who wants to kill me and eat me?
Yeah.
His fantasy was to be eaten.
And it happened, didn't it? No, it didn't happen, but somebody...
The transaction went through, and the person who paid for it was supposedly prosecuted for attempted murder or something like that. That is conjecture from my brain. I'm going to look that up, and I'll put up the actual article up on the website, thoseconspiracyguys.com. But yeah, I do remember something like that. They joked about it in the IT crowd. There was a sketch about it where the two boys ended up turning up at this lad's house and he's like, "Oh, so I'm going to eat you?"
Oh, yes, yeah.
Remember
that
sketch? But it's like, apparently the German guy wanted to be killed and then eaten, and your man acquiesced to it. And
just Albert would have done some damage
with
the internet.
Oh, fuck, stop.
With the fucking internet, he would have gone to town.
Be on Craigslist. Yeah. Be called Albert's List. It was sorted out, man. So he basically, after this point now, and he's in his 40s, and for those kind of things, for schizophrenia, it usually comes out in your early 20s. But if you are undiagnosed or unchecked, like I said, in your in a person in their 40s, like his mother, who was in her 40s when she descended into her deep madness, Albert started to get creepy.
But sure, look, we all get different, you know, interests as we go on. Like a lot of lads play golf that you would have never played in your 20s.
Sure, you buy a sports car. Or
You know, it's a midlife crisis. Yeah. I mean, this was essentially Albert's earring. Do you know what I mean? This is his motorbike moment.
This is his shell suit.
Is it all right?
Absolutely.
All right.
This is his girlfriend with big titties. He was kind of separated from the wife at this point, and he had 6 kids, and...
Jesus, she sidestepped some bullet there, didn't she?
According to Albert himself, and he was quite honest about the stuff, he never did anything to the kids, to his own kids.
His own kids. Fair play to him.
Blessed.
Fair play to him.
But fucked, killed, and ate other people's kids. He was obsessed with self-harm at this point, and he was beginning to really fall into this fish family illness.
Yeah.
It really came onto him in his 40s. So in 1917, his wife officially left him, divorced him and all. And Fish was left to raise these 6 kids as a single parent. And she took everything the two of them owned, every stick of furniture, everything. When she left, because of the trauma, Fish started having auditory hallucinations and started having...
Like his old one.
Yeah, the schizophrenia started turning up. Now, for anybody out there, we talk about mental health a good bit on the show. For anybody out there who knows, like, I've talked about what happened to me, and, you know, you're going to eat a piece of food and something's going like, it's poison. Like, just something in your head, like, just these things. It may not be, like, auditory hallucinations, or it may not be schizophrenia, but there are, you know, certain machinations in the human mind. So can you imagine, right, the stress of being, like, divorced from your wife, and then you have 6 kids, and then you have to mind all of them.
Oh,
like
Jesus.
The stress of that pushing on you, as well as it being like 1917, and if you get a cold, you might die.
Yeah, and there's no iPads to shut the kids up.
Yeah, you're in the middle of World War One.
Yeah. Jesus.
Like, you're fucked up a bit, right? So she left, and Albert started to habitually wrap himself up in carpet, claiming that the will of John the Apostle was instructing him to do this kind of stuff. So they'd come home and find him wrapped up, or he'd have like slashed all the curtains or slashed all the walls.
I rolled in a carpet once. I will say it was a bit of crack. It was actually more fun, but it was more of a rug than anything else.
Right. You
plus,
see, yeah,
I was 7.
Yeah, we've all done that. We've all done the Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Get him out of here. Yeah. Get him out of here. But it's such a weird thing where there's like a real specific person that's saying it to you. It's just like, I hear voices. Whose voices? Oh, John the Apostle.
John the Apostle.
I don't know. I tried to find out if he had a particularly Catholic upbringing. It didn't have any religious affiliations. Or
He didn't seem to put much of it down to religion. Sure,
I don't know. Like, I don't know if he had maybe in the orphanage, because it's usually run by people of the church, that maybe it was kind of like indoctrinated into him, and that's why these traumas are reappearing now as like John the Apostle, or these kind of like holy representations.
What sort was John? Was John an all right apostle, as apostles go?
John the Apostle? I suppose he changed his name to from something.
Yeah.
So
it's just, I wonder what
John is. He's kind of one of the backing singers of the apostles.
Yeah, he doesn't come to the fore. I would have.
There's Paul, who is, you know,
Ringo.
And obviously Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Yeah,
like the NSYNC of
those. Those would be the ones I'd go. You know, you'd think would come to the fore. And John,
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he's probably like he wrote one of the 4 books. So he's pretty much he's probably quite up there.
Yeah. But I'd say...
John doesn't sound like a real Aramaic name, though, really. Or like Middle Eastern, like
doesn't.
John.
John Ahmed. No.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know why particularly John. Maybe the Book of John. That's where we get all the good Old Testament stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Thou shalt nots and the...
The thou shalt... Yeah. I suppose he gave a lot of instructions, John did, down through the years, I suppose. So, yeah.
Fucking bossy cunt.
Bossy cunt. Bit of a foreman. Cranky whore, yeah.
But I wonder why... Particularly Albert chose. If anyone out there knows why John the Apostle would be
the one to
claiming to get you up in a carpet.
Right enough.
I know that the stories of the Nativity or whatever and the stories of the crucifixion are all mostly in the Book of Mark.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was the last book to be written, like 113 AD, which is like 80 years after Christ had died. funnily enough. But I don't know what, the Book of John, I know, is all like a lot of Old Testament-y.
You wonder too. I mean,
retellings of maybe retellings of Old Testament-y stories in allegorical form.
Maybe we're digging too deep into it because, you know, you hear people talking to their cats and stuff, like, you know, maybe he just went, well, it's
but
John.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. I wonder why specifically John the Apostle was mentioned. Is it because there was like a holy order that ran the orphanage and he's just like regurgitating religious, you know, affectations of, you know, religious doctrine, or your man's baiting him and going like, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John.
Yeah.
This is going to be sore when you sit on. Like, this kind of, what's it going to be, you know?
Yeah.
Albert, at this point, got real sexy.
He got, right.
He got very sexy. And he went into some serious, like, sadomasochistic perversion and some really serious self-harming. And he started doing the needles that you're talking about, Tom.
Yep. Shoving needles into his taint.
Yeah. Not good, man.
Of all the places. It's your taint. Yeah, I suppose you would have tried everywhere at that stage.
It's the bold place, though. It's the place where the bad stuff happens.
I said, but yeah.
Do you know what I mean when you think about it?
Yeah, yeah.
The bad stuff happens. He stuck him into his dick, into his belly, into his, like, into his fupa.
Yeah.
The fat upper penis
area.
Your
shroomy bit.
Into his belly button, into his scrotum, into his penis shaft.
To be fair, the fact that man turned out six children. He got his father's reproductive genes for sure anyway. Like,
like his cock is invincible.
They are fucking X-Men fucking semen. Like, yeah. Holy shit.
Well, he had the six kids out before he started, like, filling his rod up full of needles.
You're telling me he hadn't punched himself in the cock a few times growing up, like, you know what I mean?
Give it a paddling. That's so when he was arrested, finally, we're not skipping ahead, I just want to tell you about the needles. When he was arrested, finally, he had 29 needles in his groin and in his abdomen. Can you imagine that? He used to visit brothels where he would ask the women to bait him.
Right.
To jump up and down on his mickey and to hammer it with an actual hammer. And he used to, as I said at the start, he used to, his peccadillo was to get a firebug of a hooer to put lighter fluid or paraffin soaked balls of cotton up his arse and then set his arsehole on fire.
I tell you, there are a few good quality facilitators out there that could do a job for you when you need it. But by fuck, trying to find a fella. Like, there was no internet.
Like, how did you find it? That's a thing that's nice.
But how did he even find a fella that would do it for him? Like, I mean, like, I know he's going to professionals for this, I would assume. But surely the first 20 would have went, fuck off.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Are you joking? Or where do you get,
you'd have to surely pay big money for it.
If you died, what do I do? And yeah, it just seemed the more risky. Like, how would you know that cotton balls set on fire would be nice?
Up your pipe.
Up your pipe.
Fuck.
How would you know that it'd be nice?
You've tried everything. Everything in the book. Yeah. You've tried, and you've stuff that was never in the book. You've tried it.
Yeah, it seems so fucked up, doesn't it? Like, cotton balls up your arse.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like using, you know, that lube that you get, that one might get, I don't know. That one gets.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, it's like deep heat, or it's like a Bengay. And you just put it in its lube and it's like a lightsaber. Your Mickey be on fire. And then your good lady is obviously taking what you have. And like her parts then would also be similarly on fire. Is it that kind of a sensation that he was going after?
I'm guessing it could have started, say he was making a chili con carne and didn't use gloves and didn't wash his hands appropriately and went straight for a shite, touched a finger maybe off his little... off his fucking rusty starfish and went, oh, that's not so bad.
And he was walking around all day going, oh, that's... Oh, chili.
It stings like fuck, but I like it. And then just work from there. Because, you know what I mean? Little seeds. You know, the acorns and all the rest. It had to start somewhere.
Put acorns up there, like.
That's actually what I'm talking about. He shoved acorns in his hole first. It had to start somewhere. Because the fire thing is one thing hitting yourself. But fire is like, ooh,
He's on the edge. It's so complicated. Like paraffin soaked. Cotton balls. How many? It doesn't say how many.
Oh, Jesus,
do you fill your whole arse? When you set it on fire, is it like the Rocketeer? Is there just like flame coming out until the thing is over? Do they just do they smolder inside and then you poop out like a charcoal?
Like I can't see.
How does this work?
Do you think maybe there's a small bit of old Albert here was telling a few porkies, like, to make himself sound like an utter lunatic?
I don't know, man.
You know, like, they say Chopper Reed, you know, didn't kill half the amount of people he said, because he never let the truth get in the way of a good story. I'm sorry, but if you
that book is fucking deadly though.
Oh my god. But
even if it is half fake, it's still a great story.
Oh no, but he still kind of said it tongue in cheek, like, you know. But like, was Albert kind of going, yeah, totally? Because maybe he got into a conversation with a sick fucker, and he was like, so like, I had piranhas down my jab thigh, and he's like, oh, did you? Yeah, did you? Well, I stuck, and he just looks around the room and sees a jar of cotton balls, and there's paraffin there as well. He's like, well, see that carry on over there? I soak them in that, and I get a fella to light it and shove it up my hole. What do you think about that now? And your man's like, oh yeah, that's way better than my piranha story. And he just writes it down going, there's nobody here to verify this, because surely he'd be a dead man if you set fire to your internal fucking...
You've heard the stories of lads lighting farts.
Yeah, and it goes back in.
And it goes back in a little bit, and you get a little... Depends on how much gas is up there, like, you know.
Yeah.
They're reducing... Did you know about this? They're feeding seaweed to farm animals.
Yeah.
To reduce the meat in it. And it's reduced by like 95% now.
Well, you see, what farm animals... Who are they feeding? Because it'll never kick off here in Ireland, because most of our cattle are all... organically grass fed anyway.
Yeah.
It'll kick off, like, where it should kick off is in the States, where for a lot of it, they have those fattening farms, which, like, the last 3 months they just load in grain, and that ain't good for any animal.
Yeah,
just load in grain, molasses,
they have to have a hole in one of the stomachs that can't do any of the grain, and they scoop it out with a lad with a glove up to his elbow, because the third stomach can't handle the amount of food that it's been given.
Yeah, I've seen the results of it.
Fuck.
When I worked in a beef factory for about 6 weeks.
And what's the results?
The results is that you have
of an Albert Fish level.
It's unbelievable. And there was this one guy, I remember, his full-time job was, he just worked in a small little room and throughout the abattoir. But he loved his job. He was the happiest guy you ever met. And would come down this rolling kind of conveyor belt. The stomachs would just come flying down, flopping down, still warm from just coming out of it. And his job was to plug one end of the stomach, fill it with water, cut it open, and wash out all the guts from all the stomach from the inside out. And there would be one particular stomach, if they had overfed them on grain,
will be full of grain.
Yeah, be full of grain, because it just didn't process well. It just bulked them out.
I saw the cowspiracy where they cut a hole in and they keep it open with like speculums.
Yeah.
Scoop. Albert Fish had a picture of it over his fireplace. So, yeah, I think the cotton balls thing, something.
I don't know. There's,
it could be porky pie.
Like, here's the thing: if you're going to be hung for a sheep, you may as well be hung for a lamb.
Yeah.
You may as well go down. We wouldn't be talking about the guy if all those stories.
This is it.
You know.
So his first attack that was chalked down was from Wilmington, Delaware, and that was Thomas Kedden, unfortunately. And from Thomas Kedden on, he kind of kept a penchant to having it be mentally retarded people that he would attack, or African American. Because he believed that those people, and at the time he was probably right, that they wouldn't be missed if they were...
Oh yeah, sure, it was only the dawn of...
And on the 11th of July 1924, he found 8-year-old Beatrice Keel, who was playing alone on her parents' Staten Island farm, and he offered her money to come and help him look for rhubarb in the neighbouring fields, was his cover story. So she was about to leave the farm when her mother came out and chased him away. And we're talking about like a 50-year-old man, so he's pretty fucking obviously... out of place, like, looking for rhubarb with like an 8-year-old girl or whatever, right? So Fish ran off, but he came later on to Keel's barn where he tried to get to sleep for the night.
He went to go to sleep.
Yeah, obviously he's gone into vagrant mode.
At this point.
And
hard to hold on an old career too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, 9 to 5, cotton balls.
Yeah,
it's tough trying to keep yourself in cotton balls is an expensive game, you know. And he roamed the whole country. Right. Doing this. He tried to sleep in a barn, and the Keels like fucked him out of there as well. He claims himself when he got caught, and as you do, like a serial killer, you know, fucking what's his name, John Wayne Gacy, goes, "You'll never find them all." That's his last words, like, and you're like, after raping and killing like dozens of young lads, they're all found under the porch. He's like, "You'll never find them all." And it's, if you're going to be doing that stuff anyway, you might as well go with
a
legend.
It's like us comedians when we write our own bio. It's fairly hot. Like,
there was thousands of people in the
thousands
room.
Thousands of people. Rocked it last night. Cotton balls up my hole.
All the way.
Yeah.
And what was it? I was on fire. It's on fire last night. Cotton balls. It's good stuff. He claims that he had a child in every state that he...
He raped? Raped, ate, or fucked,
or all three, a child in every state.
Hmm.
And he claims to have...
Hawaii as well?
Maybe so. I don't know if he knew that was a state. But he says a child in every state. And he claims over 100 murders.
Jeez.
Can you imagine that, like?
I don't know. I mean, if you're so much into self-harm... I mean, you'd like 100 murders over what period, roughly, do you think? I mean,
from 1910, from Wilmington, Delaware, up until the time he was caught in 1929. So that's like 19 years. That's a long time.
It's a long time. You want
to be vagranting around the
place.
One
every 2 years, I suppose, yeah.
Doing a bit here and a bit there.
Yeah,
and
suppose you get, yeah.
So the one that got him busted was the now famous Grace Budd case. So on the 25th of May, 1928, Edward Budd put a classified ad in the Sunday edition of the New York World that read, young man, 18, wishes position in country. Edward Budd, 406 West 15th Street. So on the 28th of May, 3 days later, Albert Fish, then 58 years of age, landed in the Budd family home in Manhattan in New York City under the pretense of hiring Edward.
Right. Had he had a trade on the go for him?
He wanted to pull him out and give him a good jobbing.
Yeah.
Right? So he introduced himself. Albert said, my name is Frank Howard and I'm a farmer from Farmingdale, New York. And Fish instead met Edward Budd's younger sister, the 10-year-old Grace at the time. So Fish promised to hire Budd and said he would send for him in a couple of days to come and work on the farm. So on the second visit, he agreed to hire him. But he convinced the parents. So 18-year-old Eddie and 10-year-old Grace. And Eddie's looking for a job. And Albert comes down and says, oh yeah, Eddie's the man for me.
I have a job for you. All yeah, right, yeah,
here's the job. And picking cotton.
Do you like?
And Albert, the father, and Delia Flanagan, the mother, let Grace, the 10-year-old girl, accompany Edward to a birthday party that evening at Frank Howard or Albert Fish's sister's home. So Albert Sr. was a porter for the Equitable Life Assurance Society.
Right.
Right. So Grace had a sister, Beatrice, and two older brothers, Albert and George. And they all went to the sister's birthday party. Frank Howard, a.k.a. Albert Fish.
Yeah.
He was to go to the party to pick up Eddie to go, because that was his second visit, to confirm to go. There was also George and another Albert Budd Jr. and Albert Budd Sr. So all the four kids are at all the Budds are at the party. Albert Fish lands in as Frank Howard.
Yeah.
And the girl, the little girl, 10-year-old girl, was allowed to go to the party out of the prying eyes of the parents, out of the supervision of the parents. And he picked her up at that party and fucked off with her and never came back.
The horrible bastard.
Because he knew from being around the place, like, he ingratiated himself there. A confidence trickster. And this is the shit that got him done, right? So, the police arrested a Charles Edward Pope on the 5th of September 1930 as a suspect of the kidnapping. He was a 66-year-old apartment house superintendent. And he was accused by his estranged wife. He spent 108 days in jail for the kidnap of... Grace Budd. Between that and his trial on the 22nd December 1930, he was innocent, but they lamped it on him because the ex-wife was like, oh yeah, he's a creepy weirdo.
Fuck.
And in that time, Albert Fish was able to fuck off with Grace, like,
the horrible bastard.
But you're talking about the third, like, the early, the late, like, the late, you know, Black Monday happened on the 29th. Like, people were, the whole fucking America was gone to shite, like, right? So In November 1934, and this is the thing that gets fucked.
Yeah.
It gets fucked here, right? In 1934, an anonymous letter was sent to the girl's parents, which eventually got Albert Fish caught and locked up.
He
had sent the letter.
He didn't sign it off, though, did he?
Not as Albert Fish, but the information that was in the letter
was enough.
Led to, right? So very quickly...
Mm-hmm.
It's a short letter. I read you this stuff. Now, this is from the pen of Albert Fish.
Getting this in the fucking post.
Okay, here we go. Dear Mrs. Budd, in 1894, a friend of mine shipped as a deckhand on the steamer Tacoma, Captain John Davis. They sailed from San Francisco for Hong Kong, China. On arriving there, he and two others went ashore and got drunk. When they returned, the boat was gone. At that time, there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was from $1 to $3 per pound. So great was the suffering among the very poor that all children under 12 were sold for food in order to keep others from starving.
Yeah. Nice start.
Yeah. You read that, that's the first paragraph, and you go, oh, this is not going to be good.
No.
A boy or girl under 14 was not safe in the street. You could go into any shop and ask for a steak, chops, or stew meat. Part of the naked body of a boy or girl would be brought out and just what you wanted cut from it. A boy or girl's behind, which is the sweetest part of the body and sold as veal cutlet, brought the highest price. John stayed there so long, he acquired a taste for human flesh. Stayed was spelled incorrectly. Here's the cops now coming for me reading this out. On his return to New York, he stole two boys, 1 7 and 1 11. He took them to his home, stripped them naked, tied them in the closet, and then he burned everything they had on. Several times a day and at night, he spanked and tortured them to make their meat good and tender. First, he killed the 11-year-old boy because he had the fattest ass and, of course, the most meat on it. Every part of his body was cooked and eaten except the head and bones and guts. He was roasted in the oven, all of his ass, boiled, broiled, fried and stewed. The little boy was next, went the same way. At that time, I was living in 409 East 100th Street, near the right-hand side. He told me so often how good human flesh was, I made up my mind to taste it. This is Albert. And I think that's a bit fabricated, because he was already doing this stuff.
Yeah.
But it just puts a fucking mental context on what's about to happen.
Yeah.
So on Sunday the 3rd of June, 1928, I called you at 406 West 15th Street, brought you pot cheese, strawberries. We had lunch. Grace sat in my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind then and there to eat her. On the pretense of taking her to a party, you said yes, she could go. I took her to an empty house in Westchester I had already picked out. When we got there, I told her to remain outside. She picked wildflowers. I went upstairs and stripped all my clothes off. I knew if I did not, I would get her blood on them. When all was ready, I went to the window and called her. Then I hid in the closet until she was in the room. When she saw me all naked, she began to cry and tried to run down the stairs. I grabbed her and she said she would tell her mama. First, I stripped her naked. Oh, how did she kick, bite, and scratch. I choked her to death, then I cut her in small pieces so I could take my meat to my rooms, cook it, and then eat it. How sweet and tender her little ass was roasted in the oven. It took me 9 days to eat her entire body. I did not fuck her, though. I could have had I wished. She died a virgin. That last line is the fucking killer, like. And this was sent to the parents. So Mrs. Budd was illiterate and couldn't read the letter herself. So she had her son, George, read it to her.
Oh, good God.
And can you imagine reading that about your sister to your ma? Fish later admitted to his attorney that he indeed did rape Grace Budd. But Fish was a compulsive liar, so this may be untrue. He had told the police when he was asked about it that it had, quote, never even entered his head to rape the girl.
Right.
He just wanted the meat.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that got him caught. Like, it's fucked up, man, right?
Like, he went...
That's a fucked up letter, right?
Yeah.
And he was a devil for writing the letters. For a child named Billy Gaffney, who was playing in the hallway outside of his family's apartment in Brooklyn with his friend, Billy Beaton, on February 11, 1927, so 2 years before this. Both of the boys disappeared, but the friend was found on the roof of the apartment house. And when asked what happened to Gaffney, Beaton said that the boogeyman took him. And that's where we get the whole thing of the boogeyman.
Really?
This is fucking the Wolf of Wisteria. This is Albert Fish, is the boogeyman. Initially, Peter Kudzinski was a suspect in the murder of Billy Gaffney, and then Joseph Meehan, a motorman on the Brooklyn trolley, saw a picture of Fish in the newspaper and identified him as the man that he saw who took the two boys, or led them away at least, who was trying to quiet a little boy sitting with him on the tram. So he took the two of them, one of them got a bit wieldy, tossed him, and then a tram man saw Fish being like, shut up, to a little kid on the city trolley, like. The boy wasn't wearing a jacket and he was crying for his ma, and he was dragged on and off the trolley, kicking and screaming. Police matched the description of the child to Billy Gaffney, and Gaffney's body was never recovered, obviously.
Cooked
and ate. Billy's mother visited Fish in Sing Sing to try and get more details out of her son's death, and Fish confessed to her thusly. I brought him to the Riker Avenue dumps. There's a house that stands alone not far from where I took him. I took the boy there, stripped him naked, tied his hands and feet, and gagged him with a piece of dirty rag I picked out of the dump. Then I burned his clothes, threw his shoes in the dump. Then I walked back, took the trolley to 59th Street, and walked home from there. The next day, about 2 p.m., I took tools and a good heavy cat of nine tails, which is a whip with nine leather bits on it, a short handle, homemade, and I cut one of my belts in half. I slit these halves in 6 strips about 8 long. I whipped his bare arse till the blood ran from his legs. I cut off his ears, nose, slit his mouth from ear to ear, gouged out his eyes. He was dead by then. I stuck the knife in his belly and I held my mouth to his body and drank his blood. I picked up 4 old potato sacks and gathered a pile of stones. Then I cut him up. I put his nose, ears and a few slices of his belly in the grip. Then I cut him through the middle of his body, just below the belly button, then through his legs about 2 inches below his behind, and it goes on and on and on. And then he says, I made a stew out of his ears and nose and pieces of his belly. I put onions, carrots, turnips, celery, salt and pepper. It was good. Then I split the cheeks of his behind open, cut off his monkey and peewees and washed them first. I put strips of bacon on each cheek of his behind and put them in the oven. And it goes on and on like that in some kind of fucked up Jamie Oliver like cooking recipe to make stew out of a boy's arse. Like, it's fucked up, dude. And he's like, and do it for 2 hours and then taste it. Like, put the I never ate any roast turkey that tastes half as good. Like, it goes on and on and on and on and on.
Good
like that.
God.
Fucked up. And the mother went to visit him after he'd been, like, he was put in Sing Sing, waiting for the electric chair, waiting for old Sparky. And the people were coming and going, come here, I heard you were around and my young lad went missing when you were around. Did you eat him?
And that was his confession to her.
And that was how he confessed to her. Like.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine that? And just instead of saying like, yeah, like I killed your son, I'm sorry. He's like, and I took his nose and I cut him by the belly.
Cut the ears
and
off him.
And I drank him like a bag of Capri Sun. And then I fucking, like with some salt and pepper, like do that, what's that guy's name?
Salt Bay.
Just like put the salt over the elbow. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? That's so preposterous.
There's things too, there's something, I mean, he's so articulate in how he goes about it. I don't know, there's elements where I'm kind of going, Is he fucking with him? Did he do any of that shit? Did he just fuck him in a river after raping him and let that be that? Like, you know what I mean? I mean... It's,
body's never found though, Tom.
But exactly. But
it's odd.
You didn't find a body with bits chopped off it. You know what I mean? Like,
no, or the bones or anything like that. Do you know? It's fucked up. And he's a compulsive liar.
That's what's the other thing.
And a self-flagellator.
Like, he definitely likes a bit of sensation, like, you know? He knew he was going to get caught.
Of course.
When
he was doing it. He was doing it to get caught, I would imagine.
He knew he was going to get caught.
He's in his late 50s.
And given all the details, day-to-day details, the movement-by-movement details, like, what the fuck was the point of that unless he wanted to get caught, like...
Yeah.
And he wanted that big fucking story. Like, I mean, he wants to be taught. He wants to be made
but
a legend of. Like,
is this not the thing though? When there's a serial killer, like the Zodiac killer was taunting the police,
yeah,
to go find me. I want this, and nobody could solve it. And in not being able to solve it, he still got the exposure. So the Zodiac killer is maybe not out there anymore. He might be dead, but he was out there for a long time, going, "I'm the best serial killer ever because I gave him everything, and they still couldn't find me."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
There is some kind of, like, John Wayne Gacy as well, the same, like, he was leaving clues and leaving bits. Like, there is the best movies, like the Hannibal Lecters and stuff, where they're leaving clues. You're kind of going, like, yeah, this guy could be full of shit.
Yeah. Well, it's like anything. What good is doing it if you can't tell anybody about it? Like, yeah.
I mean, eating a roasted child's arse is not in itself its own reward.
Yeah.
It's no good. That's like saying, oh, yeah, what do you... Would you have, oh man, did you ever have them ostrich steaks out of Aldi? And you're like, did you ever
eat a young fella's nose?
Yeah. that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't, it is no good unless you could tell somebody.
No, not at all. I mean, his buddy told him all about it eating over in China at the time.
Yeah.
Was there any truth to that?
I think that was just like vicarious explanation of why he would want to eat somebody, where he's like, I wanted to try it because my friend told me.
I don't want to jump straight into this because I'm not a lunatic.
Yeah.
A friend of mine told me it was basic class because he lived a couple of years in China. And
if anybody knows out there about history, was there a point in Chinese history at the maybe 1920s or 30s when they were just eating children?
I mean, I know they have a large population and all the rest of it, like, but good.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be very big if you're eating all the children.
No.
I wonder, was there a time when that was happening?
You wouldn't think that was even in... Like, you think, all right, Alexander the Great times or Sumatran times, like, you know, or whatever, you'd go, oh yeah, okay, there was, you know, the Spartans were fairly hairy, you know, they could, but like in like the is he talking about the 1800s? Like,
it was in like the early 1900s, like the early 20th century. I couldn't
Chinese,
like, slavery and all was still in China until the 20s, but like surely they weren't eating kids.
Yeah.
Surely they weren't. Like, there was indentured servitude. Like, they weren't just eating like anyone under 14 because they had no food.
I can't.
Like, they didn't do it in Russia, and that was fucking rough.
That was rough.
And they weren't doing it there. Like, why then? I think maybe it was kind of like a rate. Because at the time, and we learned this in our marijuana episode on those conspiracy guys, that at the time, heroin and the Chinese population were vilified because they were coming in and taking all the jobs. So they were essentially kind of given heroin. And heroin was associated with it. Because heroin was legal up until like 1917.
Right.
And with lads coming back from the war with morphine habits and stuff like that. So all these Chinese lads had opium dens, were all over San Francisco and all over the West Coast. Like, the Chinese had it all locked down. And they basically just all got hooked up on heroin, and it became their whole thing. And it dumbed their society, or dulled their society, or their cultural spread across the West Coast. They were also like having people coming in who were hopelessly addicted to heroin, and kind of like eugenicizing them, like sterilizing the women and stuff like that when they come in fucked up on heroin. They were just like cutting their tubes and sterilizing people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was eugenics, like, in America, and it was alive and well up right into the 50s and 60s.
Just nip them in the bud there and nip it. Yeah.
Get anyone with mental health issues, if you're Chinese, if you're black, like, shup, there you, good luck, no more you. But marijuana did the same thing then for the Mexicans, where it was like, you know, the Chinese had an awful reputation in America at the time through propaganda.
Yeah.
And maybe this was a thing of Albert Fish was obviously not, you know, a liberal thinker. He was probably quite racist, quite insular. He hated people. So, I mean, why would he not hate foreign people more?
Yeah.
And I mean, he just put out a really bad thing of like, yeah, Chinese people, yeah, they eat their children.
I mean, he had claimed that, you know, John the Apostle had made him roll up in a carpet. Like, so, I mean, he was...
Anything could come out of him.
He was prone to... You know, again, I think...
Hyperbole. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because the cotton story is the only one that actually stresses me out of the whole thing, because yeah, I think he would have killed...
I'm still thinking about it.
I think he would have killed himself.
I don't know why he didn't kill himself, but he wanted to stay alive and experience the pleasures of the flesh. It's fucked up, dude. Well, after his trial for the premeditated murder of Grace Budd, for which he was caught, his trial started on the 11th of March, 1935. So he was like 6 years in jail in Sing Sing. And in White Plains, New York, Frederick Close was the judge. With the DA, Albert Gallagher, who were basically up against Fish, trying to put him away. And they tried to put him away for all the murders that he did, but the only one they could get him on was Grace Budd. But because they hadn't got that much evidence...
Oh, do you know?
...that he did... He not that he got away with murder, but he only got done for kidnapping and assault. He didn't actually get done for murder. It's fucked up. Fish pleaded insanity, and he claimed to hear voices from God telling him to kill children. And several psychiatrists who examined him in the 6 years that he was in the Sing Sing institution testified in the court case about his sexual fetishes, including the chorophagia, urophagia, which is drinking the piss, paedophilia, and sadomasochism. And the scientists or the psychiatrists in the court were arguing amongst themselves whether that meant he was actually insane. That it was just maybe just a sexual predilection and not insanity. And the defense chief expert witness was Frederick Wortham, who's a psychiatrist with a focus on child development, who said that because of what happened to him when he was younger, that it was indeed insanity. And another defense witness called Mary Nicholas, who was Fish's 17-year-old stepdaughter.
Right.
So he had more than... She described how Fish taught her and her brothers and sisters a game which involved masochism and child molestation. So he had all the kids together, and even though he didn't sexually abuse them, he used to play a game where he would kneel down and he would ask them like sums and spellings, and they'd get it right.
Yeah.
And then they'd ask him, and he'd get it wrong on purpose, and they'd sit on his back and they'd spank his arse really hard with a paddle.
Fuck.
That was a game he used to play.
Anywhere
with
the kids. Can get a bit of this carry on, isn't he? Anywhere he can get a bit of fucking beating.
Make his own kids do this game, like. Isn't that fucked up?
I'm guessing he just threw himself down the fucking stairs and everything, just...
I don't know why he didn't fucking top himself, man, with all of that carry-on going. It's like, it's fucking serious carry-on, right? So after being sentenced, Fish confessed to the murder of Francis X. McDonald, who was killed on Staten Island. And Francis was playing on the front porch of his home near Port Richmond in 1924. And Francis' mother saw this old man walk by who was, like, clenching and unclenching his fists. And the old man, like... was talking to him for a second, and then Francis was never seen again. And his body was found in the woods, and the only body that was found belonging to
Albert
Fish. He just had a few slices, a few rashes took off the back. there was a neighbor had seen Francis and the old man going in there earlier that afternoon, and he had been sexually assaulted and then strangled with a pair of suspenders that were left near his body. But it was the same MO of strip him all down, burn his clothes, do the whole...
Why was he so sloppy? Why did he leave him in the... Why did he get nabbed on that one?
I don't know, 1924, maybe he just wanted a quick takeaway. He wasn't in for the full dinner, like the full sit-down meal.
Spice bag.
Yeah, spice bag. Just wanted a quick drive-through.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then Fish went on to death row in March of 1935 after being convicted, but not of the fucking murder of Grace Budd, for which he confessed in a letter. They didn't do him, they only done him for kidnapping. And the one he actually got done for was Francis MacDonald, which evidence was left there by the body. The only one that was left. Can you imagine?
That's what...
Out of 100 kids, he claims.
Yeah, that's
after writing a confession letter, Tom.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why the 100 kids thing to me is... I mean...
How is there not more bodies around the place? Is that what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, he's so sloppy. He left a whole body out in the open for somebody to see. He didn't... You tell me he didn't drop a fucking ear somewhere, or he didn't... You know what I mean?
A drop of blood, even.
Anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this fellow was a bit of fucking fantasy as well. You know, he's... Like
self-aggrandizement.
I mean, it makes for a great story. It does. But at the same time, a kid in every state. You're like, really? Because like they've cops in all the states. Like.
But when they said the boogeyman, it is Albert Fish. So he got what he wanted, really. Like,
he did. I mean, we're talking about him now in 2017. Mm. You know what I mean? So it is a good story, but I don't buy that he has 100 victims. Like,
unless he ate them all. But it takes 9 days to eat one kid.
He was a handy enough sized fella. I mean, he wasn't exactly...
Yeah, he wasn't packing it away.
No,
like,
he wasn't. It wasn't
no eating. John Candy or anything.
No. And I mean, there'd be a fair amount of meat on a person. Like, you think of a small lamb.
Especially like a fat child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
With a healthy arse meat.
Would you eat a full lamb? No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Over a week, maybe. And that's... A lamb is only a toddler.
A third of a child.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, to get through a full, like, 9-10-year-old in a week... Man, you want to be having that for breakfast.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Finger food.
Mm.
Just like eating fingers. It's fucked up, actually. It's fucked up. I can just... Like, I'm going through all the dishes because we're cooking here at home now and I'm trying to go through like... Oh, yeah, you know, you'd be able to have like child's 4M merengue and you could have like maybe, you know, Sunday roast to be just arse cheeks and instead of pig's feet, you could just have... Kids' feet, you know, down the bit.
Yeah, you know, the intestine roulade and whatnot. Yeah, not the rest of it, yeah.
Chitlins. Bit of collard greens.
Man, you're getting southern food now and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We get soul food. That's fucked up, dude. Like, how would you eat a child in 9 days? Can you imagine? It's like, oh my God, is that your baby? Yeah, oh my God, I love children.
He's so sweet.
I wouldn't eat a whole one, but I love them.
Oh, stop you now. Jeez, you're always with the jokes. Jokes, beautiful. Yeah, yeah, jokes.
I'd eat the shit out of his nappy. No, seriously, I would. He's so delicious. Now, see, the thing is now, you're going to be coming into that time in life and you're going to be having babies and all that stuff and you're going to be going around and people are going to be like, oh, I could just eat you up. And all you'll be thinking of is Albert Fish
the whole time. I'm going to slap the fucking head off. We'll end up with no friends for a finish. It'll be like, yeah, we're not going around to the old Mandy's. That fucker hit me the last time I was there and I was trying to be nice to his ugly child. Like,
we're going around to Mandy's for a barbecue.
Yeah.
The kids are staying in the house. So finally, and this is the kind of insult to injury that Albert Fish gave to the law enforcement agencies that fought so hard to get him onto the chair in 1935 in March after being convicted of the MacDonald killing and not of the Grace Budd. Fucking baffles my mind. He was sentenced to death.
Do you think he was even raging? He goes, I fucking admitted the Grace Budd thing. Do me for it.
They couldn't chalk it down, man. On the 16th of January 1936, he was put to death in the electric chair, Old Sparky in Sing Sing.
That was Old Sparky, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called, yeah. There's a joke in The Simpsons about it, but I think that's the one it was. And he went into the chamber at 11:06 p.m. and he was pronounced dead 3 minutes later. And he was buried in Sing Sing Prison Cemetery, right? But he was recorded to have said just before they switched on the machine that this would be the supreme thrill of his life.
So he's going to get like a rage. Like a rager. He's going to get a rage and fucking erection from this.
And just before they turned on the switch, his last words were, I don't even know why I am here. Like, he's like, what did I do wrong? Still.
Talk about a fucking send off. Like,
and legend has it, after he spoke those words, legend has it, when they flipped on the electricity...
Yeah.
Because of all the needles that were irremovable from his body, in his like scrotum, dick,
taint,
belly, all that stuff. They were all around there. Have you ever watched The Green Mile and they don't wet the sponge and your man goes apparently when they flip the switch and Albert Fish
shorted it.
The needle started to conduct electricity and his crotch burst into flames and lightning and electricity was being conducted from needle to needle. So he literally had like lightning shooting out of his cock.
I was just going to say, Gordon, if you were to go anyway with fucking flames and like thunder and lightning flying out of your cock, that's a good way to die.
Like, if you're a sadomasochist star, that like spent your life getting hookers to fucking hammer your cock, you're like, oh, the final, like he's dying.
He's got lightning shooting out of his cock.
Lightning. Burning his cock to bits. Like that is...
That's the ultimate in fairness.
He that's what he said. He goes, this is going to be the supreme thrill of my life.
I mean, from his point of view...
Maybe he knew if I put needles in my Mickey and in my belly, that when they do give me the fucking chair, it'll be deadly crack.
Yeah.
Like that's fucked up. That is fucked up. Like Albert Fish is possibly one of the most fucked up true crime stories.
Like had he had real foresight, he would have stuck some more paraffin soaked cotton buds up his hole too. I mean,
Would it went on fire?
Would it went on fire? So now he's shooting fire out of his hole and fucking lightning like out of his cock. I mean,
Like the Greek god Zeus with gonorrhea or something like that. Had a few many 2 pints, her Persephone. Oh, my arse is on fire.
Aphrodite the dirty whore.
Yeah, it is fucked up though, right?
Jeez, yeah. If that is, like, I mean, again, what a great... I mean, that's an amazing finish to a movie. Just, you know, just his cock turns into a sparkler, like a welding rod, just shooting fucking stuff out.
4th of July, yeah, they wouldn't...
Does Roman candle...
Like, I've done a lot of research. Like, we've done maybe, I think, like 15 shows on Spin FM doing the true crimes. And we've done maybe like 6 or 7 here on this show as far as true crime goes. We're going to try and get through all the ones that we've skipped over from the radio and get them out on every second week. But, like, I guarantee you, you're not going to find a lad as fucked up. Like, for the specific stuff that we see as, like, the absolute perimeter of human decency. Like, this lad is way outside of that, standing in the dark. All you can see is his shoes from the light of the campfire of human decency. Like, he's not even close.
No. He's not.
Like, subhuman. Like, it's something else, you know.
He's, like, no animal would behave like he did.
It couldn't.
And, I mean, there are some ruthless fucking animals. I mean, bears, hungry fucking grizzlies will eat cubs.
Like, a mink will kill for sport.
Yeah.
Just for the crack.
Like, a fox will go in and fuck up a hen house. Like.
Yeah, it won't kill... And then strip, and then fuck, and then eat.
Yeah. And then stick needles in its cock.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Albert Fish, what a fucking weird, legendary series.
Albert Fish.
What are you doing, Al?
Fucking hell, Albert.
That's it, I think, for this time about those conspiracy guys.
Fair play to his wife for sidestepping that scenario and cleaning him out.
And the 6 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor kids. I wonder are any of Albert Fish's descendants.
Oh man, can you imagine answering that question? Well, what did your old man do that back in the day? Wait, have you got a minute?
I'd say there's Albert Fish grandkids around the place.
There has to be, yeah. Going by the potency of the fucking family.
Did the mental... That's what I was going to say, Tom.
Yeah.
Would the mental health problems like be...
This is like the... This is how you finish a movie.
Disseminated.
This is how you finish a movie. Din, din, as the twinkly music comes on.
The child being born, right, snapping the ass.
Yeah. This is how the movie finishes. As Albert's cock isn't the final scene. Yeah. Albert's cock exploding. It's the baby descendant.
As he's going up in the electric chair. There's
a baby somewhere that is the descendant of him and gives and does exactly what... The baby starts beating itself in the face with a fucking rattler.
That's like the alternate version, the alternate ending to the butterfly effect. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
I watched the first... Like,
I haven't seen it in years.
The original one where he's like, he wishes to go back and goes, I don't like you. But there's like an alternate one where he goes back and chokes himself to death in the womb and had to take that out.
Did they?
Because people were like, that's too fucked up. It's too fucked up. There's 4 different endings on the DVD special features.
Well, this is... I think if we were to make a movie, that's exactly how it should end.
For Albert Fish, for definite. It's totally fucked up. Fucking Albert Fish. Right, that's the end of this one for those conspiracy guys for this time. If anything was incorrect or you want to... You want to tell us what the fuck, lads? That was a really weird one. If you want to give us any extra information that we missed out on, or indeed you want to share some...
The Chinese
links,
thing is the big thing. We need to find out.
I want to find that out.
Was it a region of China?
Did it? Was it just...
when was it? And was it real? Were they
he said Hong Kong. I don't know. Like,
was it Hong Kong?
I think Hong Kong was pretty fucking civilized in the 30s, man. I couldn't see people eating 14-year-old kids.
Hong Kong in the 30s, wasn't that British?
Yeah, that's British, what I'm saying. It was like, pretty fucking civilized, right? If you want to get in contact with us, info@thoseconspiracyguys.com. We're also on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, all the usual suspects, on a bit of Snapchat. I'm sorry if I don't get back to you straight away. There is a lot of messages coming in. I am trying my best. I'm scheduled here now for Monday's my social media day, trying to get back to everybody. Thanks to all the Patreon supporters, to Blake and to Christine, who are super fucking awesome legend bags. Patreon.com/ThoseConspiracyGuys if you like the show and you want to support it. We do have our season 5 finale coming up middle of next week, and it's going to be out of this world. That's a clue. And then we're going to be going into season 6, and we have a live show coming up, so you get all the information if you're at the live show about season 6 and the future for Those Conspiracy Guys, including tours all over Ireland and the UK, making some videos, going and seeing some conspiracies firsthand, and indeed doing a few live shows in as many comedy clubs or theatres or whatever will have us, I guess, if we bail over to London. I'm sure we
can
find it.
Come over to my castle.
We do a private show.
Do it from the pub next door, the Monday Club.
I'm sure we're going to go shooting with Tom the Barrow, man.
You definitely are. I'm sure we are. With me. Season just opened.
I have to get...
I've got a load of camo for you too. It's fine.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like a big one that makes me look like a bear.
Yeah.
Like a
camo jacket. You've seen some of the guns in the land. We were...
Yeah.
You've seen some of the stuff
it's
done.
It's going to be a lot of videos of like practice stuff that I'm trying to get used to the gear. I'm also trying to get some stuff up because Ireland has a lot of different like conspiracy stuff as well. And trying to get out there and get a good bit of practice before we head over to the US this time next year. But the two live shows, one is on the 14th of September in the Generator, and that's going to be... great cracks. Our first ever live show. It's already sold out. It's going to be deadly. If you do want to come and see us live, there is still tickets left for the October the 10th show in the Sugar Club, and you can get the tickets from social or from Eventbrite. Just search Conspiracy and we'll be there, or you can email me and I'll send you over a link. And that's going to be great cracks, so join in with that if you're in Ireland and you're enjoying the show. We also have another show called Why Press Play that Tom is also on this week, talking about the movie Idiocracy. And Why Press Play is a movie, TV show, and computer games podcast where we basically do the looking and searching, so you don't have to you spend more time watching and less time choosing. And we've got a couple of weird ones in this show so far, but Idiocracy was a good one that we did with Tom, and it should be out by tomorrow. So you can go over to Why Press Play, whypressplay.com, or on Facebook, Twitter. That's really hard to say. Why Press Play?
Why Press Play?
Why Press Play?
Why Eat Children?
And we also stream on Twitch with Y Press Play, so we stream PS4 and Steam and a couple of the old consoles like Mega Drive and SNES games and stuff like that. So do check that out. Tom also has a podcast called Bookshot. He interviews the best and brightest in Irish media and has the crack in a conversational style.
Yeah. It's a lighthearted one, but it's people tend to enjoy it. The guests tend to have a bit of crack.
But that's all it is, man. A conversation, I think, is a bit more conducive to listening if you're in a podcast environment rather than on the radio where it's kind of a staunch interview situation.
But this is it, yeah. You see people kind of freeing up. You can kind of see people freeing up after about 10 minutes. They're like, oh, right.
They're not trying to sell something.
No, they're just enjoying it. Yeah, like,
that's what you want, that natural state. And if you want to find Tom online, it's @Tom_O'Mahony with no E and a Y at the end.
Yes.
Like Mahoney from
Police Academy.
Police Academy.
That's it. Anywhere else, just type in Tom. Can I mention my the last of the year stand-up shows?
Absolutely. You have shows in London coming up.
Yeah, because I'm a lot of clubs and stuff coming up, so all the Irish ones are done with, and the very last one, it's the show's name is Bookshot as well.
Awesome.
But it's a stand-up, a brand new stand-up hour this year, and it'll be the 25th of November. I'll be in the Museum of Comedy, which is in the Leicester Square Theatre in
London.
If you're
a TCG fan in London, head to the Leicester Square Theatre,
November
25th. Museum of Comedy.
That's it. And it's very easy to find. You just quite literally type it in. Or you'll find, you look me up.
Is there tickets online? We put the link up.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, we'll do that. So, and you can catch Tom at any good participating comedy club.
Or the bad ones too.
All over Ireland. And you do a few UK gigs
you could find me someplace in obscure like Antwerp also, like, you know, trust me, I'll tell you that story another
Malmo.
Day.
So yeah, we'll get onto Tom's social, onto Twitter or onto Facebook, and you keep up to date with what he's at, traveling all over the world, being awesome. So that's this time on Those Conspiracy Guys. Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Thank you very much for having me.
It was a weird one for your first one.
It was good, but this is good now. I'm going to drive home with one weird look at every odd guy that's on walking near me. I'm like, you could be biting children. Yeah.
Just like driving by, rolling the window and drive by kids real fast and just go, get in home before you're 8.
Yeah. Before you're 8.
Your mother will eat you. That's what it is. So that's this time of Those Conspiracy Guys. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to leave us a review or a rating on iTunes if you like the show. It doesn't really matter to me, but iTunes seem to like it, and it makes us up fly up in the charts. So please do that. Thanks again to Tom, and see you. Good luck. Goodbye.
Bye.